Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling. Today we are talking season 2, episode 10 of Shit's Creek, Ronnie's Party. And of course, I'm joined by someone who is sporting a rather high quality leather poncho today. Stuart, how are you?
Cost me so much money.
I bet a leather poncho is like multiple hundreds of dollars / pounds.
I certainly hope so. I mean, it's a lot of fabric, isn't it? And like leather's exactly cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you own a poncho?
No. Yeah. There was a time when ponchos were in that I did sport ponchos.
Were they ever in?
I was younger, they were.
Sure.
They were. But no, like, does anyone ever look good in a poncho? I feel like the only people that can pull off ponchos are people like a little hippie, kind of like a Phoebe Buffay sort of vibe. Yeah. Otherwise, you just look silly.
I bought a random poncho. I do not seem the kind of person to own a poncho. This was for a bit for a D&D thing that we were doing where we were kind of like dressing up as our characters for a special thing. And my character was an old lady who wore a patchwork dress. And I was like, I'm up for a laugh, but there's no way. There's no way I'm letting my friends get photographic evidence of this in place. So I compromised. I got a patchwork poncho from Etsy. It cost me like £80, which is
way
more
than what
I should
have paid for it. That's a lot of money to spend for a bit.
Yeah, I know. It was way too much for a bit. But it's probably the ugliest thing I have ever owned. Yeah, and thankfully it's now gracing the shelves of a charity shop. So I was like, please take it away from me.
Get it out of my house. Yeah, I would not sport a leather poncho, but David and I have very different stylistic tastes anyway, I'd say.
I think David and most people have very different stylistic tastes, unless you are fully monochromatic. Yeah, well, Beetlejuice is probably the only one.
we're going to talk about Ronnie's Party today. Stuart, what did you think of this episode? Broad strokes, what do you feel? How do you feel?
One of the better episodes this season, I thought. I really love this one. I think it's because a lot of stuff happened. Like, we've always had this weird kind of mixture of either it's a really kind of like funny episode or a lot of stuff happens. And this one, I felt like enough stuff happened. And also, it was an absolute knee slapper the whole way through. Like, I don't think there was any plot that didn't have me kind of rolling around laughing. And it's very weird. Like, oftentimes, whenever watching, you think, are people actually laughing out loud? I live alone and I was laughing out loud to myself. That's actually how funny I found this episode.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna divulge something. Now that we're 10 episodes into this season and we only have a few more left, I feel like I'm allowed to say this now because I always want to keep... I want you to be able to form your own opinions without my like knowledge of the future coming into play.
Yes.
I'm not the biggest fan of the campaign storyline, like as like a story long arc. And I know I feel like that might be a spicy take. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what it is that I like. I don't necessarily vibe with it. And so this is not one of my favorite episodes. I actually think it's one of the more forgettable episodes of the season. Ooh. And in a large part due to the campaign storyline. Maybe it's just that I want Moira and Jocelyn to be besties and I don't like it when they're like fighting against each other. Like, it could be that. I also feel like we've had quite a lack of Stevie in this season. It feels like we've really not been utilizing her. I really like this Alexis storyline, so there's that. But I don't know, it felt a little bit all over the place to me, and I don't know exactly. Maybe we'll dive into a little bit and figure it out a little bit more why the campaign stuff isn't necessarily my favorite. It has its moments, but I just overall I'm kind of like, I don't really care about like Moira running for town council. Like, I want her to be on town council, but I don't care about the process of getting there, you know?
I think I might be on a bit of a politics kick at the moment. I am midway through another rewatch of The West Wing. And of course, like, we've had like political season, what with the election over here in the UK. Maybe I'm just geared up for politics. I also think maybe I might be a little biased because last week I did make the joke about it being Ronnie's political party. And I kind of feel maybe didn't get it 100% correct on the prediction. Well, I got the vibe of it, right? So I'm counting that as a win.
Yeah. And maybe it's the cringe of it all for me. Like, there's so much cringe this episode that also could be it. I don't know. Let's dive in and we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it. All right. Let's dive into our little recap at the top here. We have a lot of cringe to get through. So let's get started. Moira and Johnny realize that the shits are more capable campaign threats and decide to target Ronnie as a potential ally and donor. Moira mistakenly thinks she'll be pitching to the key demographic of lesbians, but Ronnie's friends are actually members of the Women's Business Association. So Moira must adjust on the fly and actually does a pretty good job at the end of it, I guess. Meanwhile, David is forced to babysit Wendy's stepdaughter, who gets her period all over David's new white bedding. So that's super embarrassing and fun for her. Alexis starts her new job at the vet's office, and unsurprisingly, she's not so great at filing paperwork, taking calls, scheduling appointments, and pretty much everything else that an assistant is supposed to do. However, she's wonderful with people. And when a regular customer's cat dies, Alexis swoops in to make her feel better. So love that journey for Alexis, Stuart.
This is why I think I love this episode, because Alexis has been all over the place. Like, she's been really up at times, she's been really down, and I think towards the end of the last season we were very much down on Alexis for the whole Mutt situation. Certainly tarnished by it. Can we just talk about the fact that we haven't had Mutt for quite a while now? Let's just breathe.
It is one of the main benefits of season two, I will say. I have not had to complain about Mutt in a really long time, and I do like to complain. However, I'm also very happy I haven't had to complain about him, because he just has not been here.
But, like, seeing Alexis being thrown in at the deep end, being given an opportunity that ordinarily I don't think she would have been offered, but thanks to Ted, like, she's been given this, and to struggle, but then thrive and find a way of making it work with her and, like, carving out her own little niche here. And it's nice to see her embracing Schitt's Creek as well and kind of just accepting it, getting a job and kind of perhaps settling down in this life that is no longer this kind of thought to be temporary thing that's going to go away and get fixed. It's now like, no, we need to try and make this work. And her and David are both, maybe thrive is a bit of a generous word, but they're doing well.
They're not suffering as much anymore, at the very least. Yeah, Alexis has always been a people person. She's always been really good at, like, social situations. So it's unsurprising that she is able to, like, make instant connections with a ton of customers. It's also unsurprising that she sucks at, like, the menial work that goes into being an assistant, filing paperwork, all of that. She just has no interest in any of it. So she may not make the best assistant, but certainly the customers, the people that are visiting the vet's office, are going to love her. I will say, slightly triggering watching this entire situation go down with the poor old lady's mittens, I think the cat's name is, right? Where the cat suddenly dies and Alexis is not supposed to say anything. It is not her place to say anything. And the poor old woman wants to buy treats and she's like, well, maybe you should wait because these treats are going to go on sale. Which is a great tactic.
great cover. Like, of all things to say, like, think on your feet. That was really good. But just seeing that lie kind of get dismantled when Doris is just a little too kind of adamant, just no, I'll get them now. He really does like them.
Yeah.
And Alexis just crumble. I
he
was
would
like, oh,
like
girl.
Them if he weren't dead. Like the way, okay, I'm sorry. That is like not a great way to tell someone they've lost their pet. Like it's just, it's honestly kind of the worst. And
it could be worse though, because I mean, like it could be a like a slight half truth or something that leaves Doris like, Doris is aware of the situation immediately. It's like, your cat is dead. It's like, bam, done. And it's like sad. It's brutal and blunt, but I mean, sometimes you maybe need that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess probably this news, it depends on the person, on like the way they like the, it's never going to be good. Like it's never going to be great to hear that news. But I did love Alexis being like, but Doris, now you can like go hang out with the neighbor down the hall and he doesn't have to like take allergy meds. And I think this is a time for you to get like a new love of your life. And like, I was proud of Alexis in those moments, you know, like maybe being an assistant isn't necessarily the right job for her, but I think through that she's finding her strengths and where her skills lie, and it's in it's people. She's great at people. Like immediately she's like, I'm waiting for Doris to text me back and let me know how it went. Like it's adorable.
All things, like you expect Alexis to kind of judge a load of people and maybe be like, oh, this is a kind of old lady, I'm not going to get along with her. Alexis finds a way of getting on the level with everyone, and it was the kind of energy that I imagine that is girls' bathroom energy. Of just like that camaraderie that is shared. Alexis
like,
seems
you
to
look
carry
great.
That
Where did you
everywhere.
Get that skirt?
Yes. Exactly. And I think that she kind of shares this with everyone. I think the only female I've not seen her express this towards is Moira, and that's because obviously it's her mum. But like every like woman she speaks to, she seems to find this like innate connection with it, just like she compliments them. And I don't think it's like in a Regina George compliment shade or anything. I think it's really earnest.
I think she finds a way to connect with people no matter what the situation is. I think she's just really able to like give out advice and again, like bring up stories from her past that feel like they really don't have any sort of connection, but she finds a way to connect with people. Like if me and the Sultan's son can make it work when we can't speak to each other through an entire regime change, you guys can make it work. I liked this. I like that Ted seems like we see a different side of Ted also, where he's like boss Ted. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are you sure you're up for this job? Like, this is, are you sure that you can do this? Like, this is going to be tough, but you have to like do the work. So I appreciated getting to see that more serious side of Ted as well, Stuart, because I feel like so far we've seen him as more of like a simp for Alexis, and that's kind of, not that he's been one-dimensional, but we haven't seen like, how are we going to believe that Ted can run a vet's office if, you know, he can't get his assistant to actually do her work that she's supposed to be doing?
Yeah. And because when he first offered the job, it was like, oh, this is kind of like, are you just simping all over again? But seeing him going to like boss mode, but also good boss mode of like putting it onto her to answer the question. It wasn't like, you're not doing well, you need to do this. Yeah. It was, I need you to do this. This is a place of business. Do you think you can do, like, are you up for this? And like putting that and making her question that in herself was kind of, I thought, a really good way of dealing with it. And that moment where she goes to talk to him, when she finds out that Mittens has died, but she's clearly going to talk to him and just say, I don't think this is going to work out. And it was kind of sweet in a way of just, you could see that she had that kind of introverted look at herself and was like, I don't think this will work.
Yeah.
But then in seeing the like kind of practical application of how she is with people, comes into her own, and then we see it in a different light. Yeah, it was really lovely.
Yeah, but I do appreciate that despite the fact that she has found certain parts of this job that she really excels at, she's still Alexis. And when she finds out that Mittens is dead, instead of saying, like, having the reaction probably I would have, someone who is like a massive animal lover, is like, oh my gosh, oh no. Like, instead of having that as a reaction, she goes, ew. It's still very Alexis, you know, like she's not changing who she is. She's still going at the job as very much as Alexis.
Oh, yeah. And she's doing it while also comforting. And I say that with air quotes, Doris, when they're talking about it, because Doris is like, oh, do I have to arrange a box or something? And she's like, ooh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. She can't even
stop herself. Yeah. What did you think about the cut-off scrubs? Because I thought just hilarious. Just her and David talking about that was just
Love the scene between her and David. I often love these sibling conversations because he's just like picking on her. And she's just like, ugh. Like she just hates the outfit so much. And of course, when she comes into work, I think it's Ted says like, oh, those legs are dangerous. And she goes, Ted. I just love it. It's very Alexis to just cut off half her scrubs so that she can wear shorts.
I mean, if you've got legs like that, of course, show them off. But
yeah,
I don't know anyone that has ever been told they need to wear scrubs and has been disappointed. Like wearing scrubs to work seems like the best thing ever. It's like seems wearing like pajamas, right? Yeah, like comfy as.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, I mean, we've seen what she wears to community service. Certainly, she's not going to be pleased with wearing scrubs.
But standards.
Mm-hmm. But let's shift over and talk about David, because Wendy is laying down the law a little bit this episode, Stuart. She's like, she's not going to let David get away with anything anymore. It seems like she's like, no, I need you to watch my stepdaughter, David. Like, I need you to watch her.
Interesting that you put it that way. I saw it as David's still getting away with murder quite a bit. Like he'd ordered 4 taxidermy peacocks that were arriving that day.
We need more birds!
Yeah. Had ordered the leather poncho, which admittedly he did sell, so good on David. Mm-hmm. Well done. But seemingly did that without Wendy even being aware of it. All while Wendy's just having a meltdown over her kind of personal life. Don't know what the heck is going on there. But the I feel like her request to him was less of her laying down the law and just more taking full advantage of an employee, which should absolutely never be done. Like,
oh yeah, David. No, you can't. I think the thing is though, maybe Wendy is just not as sharp as I'm giving her credit for, but I was, because in the same scene, she's like, oh, our expense card isn't long for this world. Like now we're selling ponchos. Like she's really giving David a very long leash. And I feel like now she's kind of, you know, he's paying his dues now with the babysitting. Like, I need you to watch my stepdaughter, and you're gonna, because of all the shit I've let you get away with, basically.
I love David just trying to clearly get out of it without actually saying no. Just being like, well, if you need anything, just ask. And then she does. And then he goes, yeah, okay, well, if you need anything.
Of all people, I really wouldn't pick David to babysit. Granted, this girl's what, like 13? Like, I don't really think she needs a babysitter. I don't know.
No. I get the impression that maybe Wendy is a bit neurotic in a way. Like, maybe she just kind of has a thought and it's just a thing that must manifest. I don't know. But what do you think is going on with Wendy's whole situation? It was the ex-husband, who I'm guessing is this daughter's father, they have to go into the school. But she was also whinging about someone making more money than they earn together, which I'm guessing is the ex-husband's new boo or something. So
definitely family drama, certainly. Yeah.
And she's she's feeling it because she's like, she's on the phone and she's going mental all day with it, seemingly.
Wendy seems like a kind of person, and this is no judgment, really, kind of. Wendy seems like the kind of person who's had like multiple husbands and it's just like not worked out. Don't you think?
Interesting.
She kind of gives that vibe to me.
This long line of men in Schitt's Creek. Oh, not Schitt's Creek, in Elmdale.
Yeah. How just dare you?
Full of Wendy's exes. Yes,
I think so.
It was funny when I was watching this because I messaged you as I was watching and I was just all caps because when Wendy requested a hot tea, I was glorious. I was like, a tea drinker. She's automatically won my favor. And then she like lands David with this awful task, and I was like, oh, sorry Wendy, you were flying high for so
great for a second,
such a short period of time, and now it's just gone.
I think once that scene is over, I don't particularly care about the rest of the David storyline. Like, okay, she gets her period. She's sitting on his like new white comforter. Like, it's very tropey sitcom. Mm-hmm. I think it's like it's I've seen this before. It's been done before. And it's like, it's, I feel for the girl, you know, like it's embarrassing and it sucks. And David has to deal with it. And he's a funny character to have to deal with it. But it, who cares, I guess, is where I kind of land on the David babysitting.
Yeah, I was a bit, I think I came out of it quite high on it purely for the fact, like his reaction, not to it, but that his reaction of like trying to help with it and being almost like a little, in some ways, really good with it, like just handing over the sweater that she could tie around her kind of waist to like cover up and stuff, which I thought was like nice. But then it was just the fact that he was saying, well, she'll have a lot of things in there, and just shouts health accessories for some reason. That really cracked me up. And it was like that I think carried it through. But yeah, I didn't make a great deal of sense. Like,
yeah, I wish we would have had
to go from the Wendy to this.
Yeah, like, I feel like we could have even better utilized Stevie here, where instead of the scene where David asks Stevie if they have any board games or DVDs or anything like that, I almost wish he would have roped Stevie into helping babysit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, maybe we don't even have the period storyline. Maybe it's something else that happens with the girl. I just think we could have used this as an opportunity to have more Stevie and David content as opposed to, like, really leaning on hard to the teenage girl gets her period storyline that we've all seen so many times. And like, of course it gets on something white and, you know, it's just whatever. I did love I love David imparting knowledge as to how to tell if someone has lip filler. So I did like that, but overall the story is a little bit of a, he's right. He's absolutely right though, which is reasons I would never get a lip filler.
Yeah.
But also I don't want like needles near my face. But anyway, yeah, that storyline's just like meh for me, I guess. Beyond the Wendy stuff, because I do love Wendy.
Yeah, definitely like third tier storyline in this whole episode, which is why I mean it didn't really get that much airtime. But like I totally get your point though, is that why have a extremely short scene with Stevie only just to have them kind of like her do the same thing that she's always been doing, which is David's in a predicament and she goes, oh, can I watch or can I like make a comment about how this is going to be disastrous? And then we cut away and never see Stevie again. It's like, it feels like a real waste of a character. And Stevie's got so much potential, brings so much to a scene. I totally get that. Yeah.
That's something that I'm kind of seeing as like a pattern with season two that I didn't necessarily remember because I tend to watch this show in big binges, you know, you don't necessarily notice as much of the week to week. I feel like we utilized Stevie so much more in season one. And while I wasn't a huge fan of the David and Stevie potential romance plot line, at the very least, I felt like we were seeing a lot more of her and she was just more involved. And I'm feeling like a lot less Stevie this season.
It's a real shame because, like, we were so high on Stevie, like, midway through the season. And before the whole her and David thing, it was like, it felt like there was a lot of Stevie. And admittedly, because we did get the roses arriving at the motel. And, of course, naturally, she's going to be around a lot because she manages it. So it's the more we pull away from it and the more we see the town get fleshed out, Stevie's kind of role gets a little, I guess, diluted. Which is a problem with a growing kind of more ensemble cast that I'm kind of hoping for, because I do love all of these side characters and especially the ones like Ronnie and Bob and stuff getting more moments, is that you do have to take the kind of spotlight away from others because you can't do it from the central cast because those four are the four. I mean, we have to keep them involved. So yeah, it's a problem. But I think, what you said about how you can just better utilize that scene to include Stevie more would have been nicer.
Yeah. And speaking of like getting these side characters involved more, I do love the inclusion of Ronnie in this episode. And I think Moira is very smart for targeting her as a potential ally, given she was the one who encouraged Moira to run. Like it would be fun to have some competition and have a real election, and you know, you got something done and you should be very proud of that, back when she got the flowers for the motel and outside of the cafe. So it makes total sense they're gonna target Ronnie. And this is a classic sitcom where it's like a complete misunderstanding. They assume incorrectly, or possibly correctly, who really knows, that Ronnie is a lesbian, and that is the quote unquote key demographic that they will be targeting. And the funny thing about Ronnie is, like, I mean, it could have been way cringier, Stuart. Like, it could have been like, oh, we're targeting the black demographic. You know, they could have made it way worse, but it's the Women's Business Association.
Yeah. When I saw that wig and how tight those curls were, I was like, oh God, Moira, what are you doing?
But yeah. Then, yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, is that the right word?
No, thankfully, it's the Women's Business Association. And so she has to kind of adjust her speech to them on the fly. And I mean, here's the thing. Moira does have charisma. Like, I think this is another thing I appreciate about the show, is we just talked about Alexis being able to connect with anybody over anything. I feel like we see that kind of comes from Moira in a way, because Moira is able to kind of shift. And yes, her speech doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense, but she's still able to connect with these people and get them on her side by the end of the gathering.
Yeah, a true politician who just says words and somehow gets people to clap despite saying nothing of real note or value. Mm-hmm. It's like, elect her. She's brilliant. But no, I love the fact that point of just Moira's ability to kind of charm people and to win people over is absolutely demonstrated with Alexis. She certainly doesn't get it from Johnny, because Johnny, the third wheel, however many wheels in this kind of party,
being
so awkward. I was like,
he's so cringy. It's awful. And I really think the only reason he's even there is because they're like, okay, we need to make Eugene Levy a part of this episode. I guess he's just going to tag along with Moira. But he's so supremely awkward. Like, I truly think Moira would have been able to do a better job if he just wasn't even there.
Possibly. But then you'd totally miss out on the comedic duo of Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, because it was absolute Danny Boy vibes all over again with the egg sandwich of just Johnny there being awkward in the background to a point where it's a whole different joke. And also, like, him being the one to tell Moira and, like, kind of get through her kind of almost like Moira filter of the world, of just how she sees it and that being truth, and just being like, no, I don't think these people are lesbians. She has a husband. Explain that. Like, if it wasn't Johnny, I don't think that would have even transferred, and we would have had Moira completely digging our own grave here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would have been even worse.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that Ronnie lets them flounder and doesn't rescue them. I think it's so much better, and you really understand who Ronnie is as a character, that she, like, is happy to watch them flail around a little bit. And she, when they leave, I got the impression, and maybe you interpreted this differently, but her and the woman that are, like, joking and cheersing as the roses leave, that's possibly her, like, girlfriend or something. And they're, like, laughing at the roses' expense, because it's like, yeah, of course, you know, we are together, but, like, we're not going to tell them that. Like, let them flounder a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. They made an assumption. They didn't actually just, you know, have the courtesy to ask. So, of course, we're not going to let you do that. Yeah, I certainly got that vibe as well, especially the fact that they stayed after everyone else had left. It lends itself to good writing, because people aren't one or the other. You can be a woman in business and you can be a lesbian. Like, there's no reason why you can't be both at the same time. But of course, in the comedic moment, it's like, oh, they're not lesbians, they're this. And so the shift goes completely over. But Moira's ability to shift that speech was something just absurd. So I mentioned to you beforehand that I kind of zoomed in on the notes. I'm going to, like, share them right now, because they are ridiculous. So I kind of zoomed in a little bit on them. And so you've got NB, do not forget the something, two bottles of whiskey.
Is there a picture of a tree? What is the tree there?
Yeah, there's a drawing that says the greenery of something.
Maybe Schitt's Creek, maybe?
Could be, yeah. There's a bit down here, high fives, which I just...
Do I give high fives at the end of this?
Exactly.
Is that what lesbians do? Do they high five?
I love it. And I was just looking at these notes because I was like, when I was watching, I just hit pause and was like, enhance.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could read it all. It's just all scratchy notes. But the way Moira does it is if she's got this really like long rehearsed speech.
Yeah.
But it's not. She like somehow just gets brilliance from what seems to be.
Too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like part of me thinks that maybe they realized like both A and B. I'm not too sure what that says at the top. But yeah, I'm wondering if they were there and they go, oh shit, we need a prop. But like Moira, like she's meant to have a speech and they just grab some writer's notes and just hand them to her.
It's possible. I want to know what NB stands for.
NB, yeah.
NB. It's very bold, you know, supposed to everything else. Jeez Louise. Yeah. It's so funny. Weird. It's ridiculous. All right. Anything else about the episode before we get into some feedback that we have?
Not that I can think of really. Moira, we might get, I know because this was later, the very floral skirt when she goes to meet Ronnie in the cafe. I was like, the first time we've really seen Moira branch out into different colors. And I thought it was quite funny that she was wearing sunglasses at the time to like kind of almost like blind herself from the brightness of the colors.
Yeah.
But other than that, not too much.
It's perfect. Okay, let's get into some feedback here. We heard from Trish. She says, wow, this wig. I forgot about this wig. This looks more like Edward Scissorhands cosplay. So now's probably a good time to bring up the wig anyway. Yeah, I was with you, Stuart, the first time I watched this, at being a little concerned about the wig that Moira has on her head. I love a curl as much as the next girl does. And I do think this is a great look for Moira. I don't know. Like, I also think like auburn necessarily isn't her color. I almost wish it was like a more shocking color, you know?
I just think it's very nice for the production of Annie to allow her to borrow this because it's such an Annie wig.
It really is. It's bigger than an Annie wig. It's even bigger.
It's so huge. Like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I did, as I mentioned earlier, I was a little concerned when I saw like how curly it was and knowing that Moira was going for a demographic, I was like, oh gosh, girl, don't do this.
Yeah, please stop. Relieved. We don't want to cancel you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also heard from Liz, who's from the last episode, who said, I just got a new debit card today and they asked me my PIN out loud and I was a little thrown off. Like, can I say it? You just said your PIN out loud. You're going to need to pick a different PIN now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you should certainly say it, but you should let me know your social security number, date of birth, and any other details that would be useful.
Mother's maiden name.
Yeah, just put them in the comments.
Lomaniac said, honestly, I've never really thought about it, but I think Bob is also my favorite character in Bob's Burgers. This is a reference back from episode 6. He's the straight, like, is anyone's favorite character the straight man in these comedies? They never are my favorite because they're just like having to be
normal.
Have
you had anyone come onto this show and say that Johnny's their favorite? I don't believe we have.
It might have been Will, I think, who said that because he was saying that Will, he loves Bob. Yeah.
Yes. Ridiculous. Outrageous.
It is ridiculous. I always am like, I like the most outlandish character 9 times out of 10. I actually sent Will a TikTok the other day and it was like when you just need to get your weirdness out for a second, and it was just this man laying on the couch with like presumably his wife or something, and all of a sudden he just stretches and goes like he just makes the weirdest noise, and I've done that. Like, I can tell you right now, I've done that. Like, you sometimes the weirdness just gets pent up and it needs to be out.
I don't trust people that don't do stuff like that. Like, I don't think that, like, I surround myself with quirky people, like, for the sake of it and stuff. But I've got some, like, kind of odd friends. One of my friends, Benj, who will just, you'll have the most quiet silence, and then he'll just go, like, was obsessed with that whole Avada Kedavra meme that was going around in ages and just scream that randomly. Everyone's going to get their weirdness out occasionally. If you don't, I think you're a bit of a psychopath.
That's what I'm saying. You're like either a sociopath because you're not weird and you just, you know, mm-hmm. I don't trust people that are just too straight and narrow. Like,
yeah,
it's like that thing, Stuart, where you have to wait a certain amount of time, either at a new job or when you're dating someone for the first time, like before you can show them that you're really weird, you know, mm-hmm. like there's like a set time limit of like, okay, it's been a few months. I can let my weirdness out. Let your freak flag fly, if you will. Cause I'm really weird. And I just would find it very off-putting if I was with someone who wasn't also a little weird.
I think I would find it off-putting if the freak flag didn't fly sooner. Like if someone took a long time to unfurl that flag, I'd be like, mm-hmm. there is a courtesy period where everyone acts normal. It's like, yes, I'm grown up. We're going to go out on a date and we're going to do fine things at restaurants and wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you've got to get a little bit weird.
Especially too, like, I think it becomes expedited. Like, it's not just necessarily like a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever. It's like an amount of time you've spent with said person. So mm-hmm. maybe I've spent like 8 hours with someone in one day. And like, I'm talking not just like working in the same office. I'm talking like interacting with said person for 8 hours. It's like, well, we've expedited the process. My weirdness can show sooner. And it should. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a little weird. And if you're not, you need to get checked out by a doctor. Where's your weirdness? Where is it? Everyone's official a little weird advice. About something. This is very much like, Stuart, because I have self-diagnosed ADHD, I get hyperfixated on things. I don't know about you, but I become obsessed with certain things for short amounts of time, and then I move on and get obsessed with something else. And I love learning what people's hyperfixations are, like what is something that someone is like extremely passionate about, because it tells you so much about them. And usually it's whatever their weird thing is. Like everyone has a weird thing. So just let your weird thing out, people.
My hyperfixation lately has been D&D, and it's been that for 8 years now.
That's no longer a hyperfixation. That's just maybe an obsession. I think maybe they changed the word to that. Anyway, let's get back to feedback. We got an email from Natalie. And so she said she's not normally a podcast listener, but she saw we were talking about Schitt's Creek and she had to listen. And Schitt's Creek is her favorite comfort show. And she's watched all episodes at least 3 times. And she doesn't understand my love of Bob. She says, Jess, I do not understand your blind love of Bob, though I do agree. I love the Bob jog. I thought maybe you can make a play on Bora Bora and call Bob your Bob loving island, Baba Baba.
Better than most, but still no Barbados.
I think what you mean by most is better than anything I've pitched.
Yes, I absolutely do mean that.
A Bobology island. She also said you need to watch Parks and Rec so you can understand why miniature horses are the best.
I hear you all.
Everyone keeps saying it. She wants to thank us for the podcast because Schitt's Creek left Netflix, which is truly a travesty. I don't watch it on Netflix, so I wasn't really aware of that, but I don't know, is this internationally too, Stuart? Did it leave Netflix? I feel like we heard rumors of that as well.
I think it was just a glitch on that one. I think it's still available on UK Netflix. It's still working for me, at least.
Yeah. She's also really excited for us to get to mid-season 3. Like, she can't wait for it because that's where, like, a lot of her favorite episodes are, which I would agree. I love season 3. I'm really excited to get there. And this is where I thought Natalie had some really interesting feedback. She says, I was never the biggest Moira person. Not that I disliked her, but she was never my favorite. However, you've helped me see her in a new light and all the characters that she are all the character that she brings to the show. With that being said, I'm not a fan of the town council campaign. Me and you both, Natalie. And though I think it brings some funny moments, overall, it just goes on too long and has too many cringy moments as well. See, that I totally agree with her. And I think a lot of it is, I don't know, Stuart, as much as I've said, we haven't seen a ton of Stevie. I also feel like we haven't really gotten as much Jocelyn either. Like, we got her in a very small moment this episode.
Yeah. It's weird to have a storyline that involves Jocelyn to such a high degree, but because of the way in which it works is that we're seeing everything on Moira's side of things. And so Jocelyn and Moira aren't going to share anything unless they're kind of at each other's throats in a way, or kind of being backhanded with compliments and leftover cakes and things, which is a shame because, like, you know, I love Moira and Jocelyn. I love their dynamic when they're like together and friends and stuff like that. And I want them to get along. And I don't mind in the short term the development with them. Like, I like the fact that we're getting some kind of change in their relationship a little bit, some hostility. Mm-hmm. But if this does go on for too much longer, I can see my enthusiasm waning a little bit. Mm-hmm. But for the moment, on the first watch, I think I'm actually okay at this point. Yeah. But
and this season is only 13 episodes long. So it's not like it's going to be like super prolonged. But
no.
She left us with this other interesting tidbit. She sent this email in after last week's episode. She says, I find the dates listed interesting. If David was born in 1983 and the season aired in 2016, that would make him 32 or 33. Based on, I believe, the Bad Parents episode, when Alexis is mentioning one of her adventures and saying it was 10 years ago, Johnny makes a comment about her being 18, meaning that now she's about 28. This means she was born in 87 or 88 and 4 to 5 years younger than David. I choose to believe that she was born in 88 and that the photo that Johnny had in his folio is actually from the day Alexis was conceived, because the photo of the nude of Moira was taken in Greece, 1987. So it's possible that that photo was like around the same date that Alexis was conceived. Is the math mapping?
The math is mathing. I'm not sure I'm fully on board with the photo being that one. But does that also mean that Alexis was born in Greece, potentially?
Conceived in Greece. I mean,
oh, conceived in Greece. Sorry. Okay, I'm thinking like I'm going 9 months too early. Or too late even.
Do we need to talk about the birds and the bees, Stuart? Because when a mommy and daddy love each other very much.
I dare you. It's ridiculous.
But I love this. But, I love this. I feel like a Charlie and It's Always Sunny with the red string and like the you know, the timeline. It makes sense to me.
Absolutely. I mean, we're entirely giving it far too much thought than what would have thought in the writer's room.
What else are we supposed to do on this podcast besides give it far too much thought?
We are thorough investigators. I'll have every listener know.
Practically a detective.
Exactly. I do kind of love that, which is a very kind of like happy memory. And like Johnny seems to look back at that photo and be really kind of like sentimental about it. It totally fits. That's really sweet.
Yeah. So thank you so much for the email, Natalie. She sent us in like a ton more and a lot of compliments and everything. And we really appreciate it. We love, love getting feedback. So feel free to always email us if you want. Podcast@talkinshit.com is where you can email us or find us on social media at talkinshit. All right. Let's get into our ratings here, Stuart. Last week was controversial. I think this week will be less controversial.
Do you?
Maybe.
You're not going to come out with an absolutely wild one this week.
Stuart, do you want to give us who you think is simply the best this episode?
Simply best. I joked while kind of watching that it would be Wendy for her kind of appreciation of a good cup of tea to solve your problems when you're stressed. But jokes aside, I think I've got to give it to Alexis. Like, to be able to do, like, to succeed at a job that I think none of us were really expecting her to actually do well at was really good. But also, to comfort Doris, set her up on a date, and sell a ceramic urn, like, in one, like, conversation? Yeah. Absolute MVP behavior.
Yeah. I'm so torn because I was like, okay, if Stuart gives it to Alexis, I can feel free to let my freak flag fly in a way and give it to someone else. Because I feel like this is someone who I've almost wanted to give a point to in the past and haven't really had the opportunity. But Ronnie really did crack me up this episode.
Yeah.
I just feel like she's earned a point. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she wasn't like a sentimental fave, but she cracked me up and she really let the roses have it. I love when someone has the will to just let someone like hang themselves with their own rope. You know what I mean? Like just let them do it. And I feel like she did. So I want to give my point to Ronnie, even though I very much agree with you about Alexis. I definitely agree with you. I have to reward Ronnie for her nonsense.
Yeah. No, I like that. At first I was a little affronted. I was like, are you just using mine to like just get away with murder here with a controversial pick? No, Ronnie's perfectly justified. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Ronnie makes sense. Okay, disgruntled pelican time. Who is the disgruntled pelican for you this episode, Stuart?
I did wonder if I could give it to Ted, because I wonder if he did kill Mittens, because he doesn't know how Mittens died.
So, he's trying to find out.
That's negligence in my book. Like, that cat was healthy, was coming into the vet every 2 weeks. Doris was very attentive. I'll give it to Ted. Ted, can I? No, I don't think I can. No, I'm going to give it to Jocelyn.
Oh, look who's giving Jocelyn disgruntled pelican points.
Because it was such a dick move, this opening scene. It was like, Roland, you expect that behavior off of, but there was no need to even go over to the roses. Like, yeah, okay, they took over like some cakes, and in their minds, they're being nice about that. But it was condescending, patronizing. It's just all the bad, like, kind of descriptors. Yeah, not cool, Jocelyn. Not cool.
I'm going to agree with you. And I'm also giving a disgruntled pelican point to Jocelyn. It's just shitty. It's a shitty thing to do, to be like, oh, by the way, we had a party last night and we have to go to the bank now, drop off all our money that we just got. And by the way, here's some leftovers. Like, what was the point of that? Like, it's different than her dropping by and giving Nanaimo bars because she had extras. No, yes. She's trying to be like, look at all the donors that's giving me money. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot, all right? Yeah. It's not cool, and she's going to suffer as a result.
It's not, but I'm really worried now. That's now three LVPs that Jocelyn's taken this season. You know what? Maybe she should
stop being such an asshole. This wouldn't happen. Just saying.
Gosh. Sad now.
Sad things happen when people do bad things. So,
don't do bad things.
Don't do bad things. So let's get into tier ranking our episode here. We have Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, Ew David, and Shit Out of Luck. Stuart, I feel like this is the biggest disparity we've had in our opinions on episodes thus far.
Prior to us, like, talking about it, I was fully considering just immediately launching this into Hot Shit. Mm-hmm. But I think on a more measured take, I think I would bring it down to Full Bouquet. I think that, I think your point about how Stevie is kind of getting relegated in scenes, isn't being brought into it, the period on the bed storyline just not being that, well, not even, not necessary, but just not funny. Like, beyond David's kind of reaction, like, and saying a couple of things, it wasn't that great.
It feels like low fruit or whatever, bottom of the barrel low hanging fruit. Like, oh, a teenage girl got her period. Like, oh no, it's got on something. It's like, okay, how many shows have done this? We've all been there. Like, it's embarrassing. It's like, it's just, I don't find it very funny, not because I'm a woman or anything like that. It's just because it's like, been there, done that, low hanging fruit sort of joke.
Do it on a character that just wasn't fleshed out and stuff. Like,
we don't care about her.
She only exists, I think, like, when writing it, I've just like had that joke in mind. And then I'm like, okay, well, Wendy now has a daughter and now David is the babysitter. Like, you can see the logic of how that character has come about from that joke. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's a bit lazy, but as like sounds as if we're quite negative on it. I think everything else about this episode was stellar. So I think certainly Full Bouquet is kind of my recommendation. What about yourself? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I would probably put it in Love That Journey for Me, but I could see it going at the bottom of Full Bouquet. Like, I wouldn't put it above anything else that's in Full Bouquet. but mm-hmm. I'm comfortable putting it at the bottom. If for nothing else, for the Alexis growth that we see this episode, like, I really love what we got from her. And I love getting to see more of Ronnie as well. I feel like that is super valuable. We've had a lot of episodes. Like, look, I mean, look at even the titles, right? Like Bob's Bagels, like Ronnie's Party. We've gotten a lot more of the side characters, which I do appreciate. So yeah. What do we think? End of full bouquet?
I certainly do, purely for the virtue that it's higher than the candidate, because every time I see the little screen grab on that image of just kind of that scene, I know, I'm just like, it reminds me of the kind of, I think, the worst aspect of that episode, and I am gonna judge them against each other. So yeah, as long as it's higher than that one, regardless of which tier it's in, I'm happy.
All right, full bouquet it is for Ronnie's Party. Wow, this is great. I mean, I'm excited for what's to come. We still have some really great episodes left. Are you ready to hear what the title of season 2, episode 11 is going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Motel Guest.
This could be anything.
It could be anything.
I have no idea. Who? I mean, I they've already alluded to the Rose's family, like what with Moira's sister turning up. So I imagine it's maybe just a whole new character, just introducing some more chaos into Schitt's Creek. Who knows?
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait until next week to find out. We have 3 episodes left this season, Stuart.
This is going by so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of not a fan. I mean, I'm a fan that we're getting through it because we're getting some really good episodes. But also, this is going by really too fast.
In looking at some of the titles for season 3, I'm getting really excited because, in my opinion, season 3 like blows this show out of the water. I really think like season 3 is like a really big step up, and mostly because I'm not the biggest fan of the campaign storyline. So for me, that drags season 2 down a little bit. But season 3 is so good. The fact that I can look at the titles and like know immediately what episode it is by just the title alone usually is a good sign. So
yeah.
I'm really excited for everything else that we have to cover.
I mean, I'm encouraged by it. Like previously everyone was saying, like from season 1 onwards it gets better and better. Hearing that season 3 is a blowout season, like is a really good one, is great. And also like Chappelle immediately saying I want that episode in season 3, that kind of makes me think that people have some really kind of like strong memories of specific events that happened in that season, which makes me think that it's going to be good. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I will say that there is a particular episode, I'm not going to say what season or what episode or anything like that, but there is an episode where I was talking to one of our guests about guesting, and they were like, wait a minute, I know we're not talking about this particular season, but I really want this particular episode from a different season. And I was like, yeah, you're fine, we got you, don't worry about it. But it's like, that's how people feel about certain points of this show. It's just whether it's because it's hysterical or because it's heartwarming or because it's both. I think like this is the kind of a show that brings it out in people. You know what I mean? Like just like it, like I don't know. It just it's lovely. And the one that Chappelle picked out is going to be funny for so many reasons. So, but we'll talk about that in weeks, months.
When we get there, when we get not too far away.
That's all we have for this week. So until next time, warmest regards
and best wishes.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.